You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions, and student voices.
Firstly, we're going to be talking about the coronavirus, which obviously is the big news on everyone's mind at the moment due to sort of the massive, I'd say, change in how impactful this is becoming on everyone's lives. As obviously everyone's currently talking about going into isolation and kind of keeping yourself away and kind of how people can help out with other people who are more vulnerable to this. So firstly, we're going to be talking to Beth about her current recent posts on Facebook and how that has, how students can get involved with things like food banks. So firstly, I wanted to ask, what is it that you have been like posting about, and what have you been talking about on Facebook?
So I work for a local food bank in Nottingham called Hope Nottingham, and it's something I got involved with last year. And I was in the office on Wednesday morning last week, and they were basically speaking about the impact that coronavirus was already having on their food bank. And it was just the issue of kind of people stockpiling means that people are less willing to donate, and it also means that there are less resources naturally for the most vulnerable people. So I did a post on buy and sell, and it got a lot of attraction, and loads of people have donated so far. But it's basically just about a food bank collection that I'm doing currently, which will be taken over to the food bank on Wednesday, and basically just urging people to donate whatever they can, whether it is just like a tin or two of veg.
What are the sort of things that you think are most needed at the moment to be donated?
So at the moment, they have kind of like a current list of things that they're short of, and that kind of varies from like tinned goods, so whether that be like spaghetti hoops, vegetables, potatoes, rice pudding, custards, anything tinned. But then they're also low on stock with squash, jam, coffee. But it's kind of one of those things, anything that's non-perishable you can donate, whether that be like toothpaste, sanitary products, just anything that can't go out of date and you think would come of use to someone who kind of isn't in as privileged position as we are.
Do you think that food banks are going to have a problem recently due to the whole sort of stockpiling problem that we've been seeing across the country and across the world, in fact? Do you think that that's going to be a thing that is infecting the most vulnerable people as well?
Yeah, so I guess the knock-on effect that we'll have on food banks is it means that when people go to do their weekly shops, instead of thinking about picking up a couple of things for people who may need it more than us, they'll be thinking more about getting the things that kind of they need. So whereas ordinarily you might get kind of some soup for food banks, now you might feel more of a need to get it for yourself. Or it could mean that because people are stockpiling, there are just less food and resources on the shelves, meaning that when people do want to go and donate things to food banks that they think are most important, they actually wouldn't be able to get hold of them.
That's really great. So when is it that you will be taking all the food over to the food bank?
So with this collection that we started last Thursday, we're going to take it over on Wednesday morning. But because I volunteer there each week, if people wanted to get involved kind of any time, that would be possible. But before Wednesday morning would be great. We're going to share a link of some sort to put people in contact with me. But people so far have just been donating it to my house on Douglas Road in Lenton. And I think so far we've had about 20, 30 people donate food, and a lot more people coming in the next couple of days. People have also got involved with signing up to volunteer, but just like anything people have would be great. And it's so lovely to see how many people are willing to help, and my bedroom is literally just food at the moment. So
yeah, so make sure to check out Buy and Sell, and also check out URN's social medias, as we will probably be sharing some more stuff about this. I wanted to open up a question to the panel and to everyone and to Beth as well. What do you think are the biggest problems that we will be finding in the recent days, in like the upcoming days, to do with coronavirus? What do you think will be the biggest issues?
And I think food is definitely one of those issues, because I went shopping this morning, and I was, you know, obviously you've heard all these stories about how like empty the shops are getting, but I was like, you know, I was shocked about at how kind of like little there was in like certain areas, because like there was no toilet roll, there was no pasta, you know, there was hardly any milk, there were no eggs, And so obviously people have been just taking lots and lots of essentials. And I think that obviously has a knock-on effect. If like one person starts doing it, then everyone else feels that they obviously also need to start buying up stuff, because if they don't, then everyone else will, and then they won't have any stuff. So everyone just keeps buying loads of stuff. And obviously, as we've been hearing, in relation to the food banks, that can have a really big issue. And at the minute, obviously, although we're having like increasing the levels of isolation that people are kind of going into, we're not having a food shortage. That's completely man-made. That's got nothing to do with the disease.
Also, I think Boris Johnson just announced that we're kind of entering this serious phase where the cases across the next 5 days will be doubling, I think, every day. So I think there's also going to be a huge strain on the NHS trying to find beds and doctors to kind of help these people. And in that sense, I think the virus will kind of spread even more, because more doctors would be needed to help, and thus they kind of open themselves to catching the virus instead.
Yeah, so I've just read as well that Johnson's now said that people should start working from home if possible, avoid pubs, clubs, theatres and other social venues, only use the NHS when we really need to. And also from tomorrow, the government will no longer be supporting mass gatherings. So like the use of emergency workers and things won't be used for gatherings that aren't necessary. So I think we're really seeing now that from the social side of it as well, we're entering this kind of lockdown stage, which I think is quite scary. This is like the real deal now. So it's just being sensible still and not, you know, doing things unnecessarily, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like we've very quickly shifted from everything's okay, we're not going to change much, still go as normal, to stay at home, don't leave.
Yeah, only a few days ago, Johnson was like, we kind of need to carry on like until we reach this really serious stage. We're in for the long haul. It could be, you know, quite a few weeks. We're 2-3 weeks behind Italy. And now all of a sudden, he's obviously started these daily briefings from today. And it sounds like all of a sudden we've now hit that level. And to basically stop doing anything and go inside if you can, it seems.
I think it's also quite interesting in that, like, I feel I'm part of history. It's kind of something that I could, like, tell my future kids. And it's also, like, an experience that you kind of see in shows like Bird Box or, like, Zombie Apocalypse. They're, like, it's kind of like the apocalypse kind of happening to us.
Yeah, I feel like this is very much a massive thing in history. Like, we've all read about the plague. We know about that, and it feels like, oh wow, is this something similar, or is like what is going to happen, what is going to be effects of this, how long is this going to go on for?
I think it's the uncertainty that's scaring people so much, because obviously it started in China, but we haven't seen it. It's not completely gone in China yet. Obviously numbers have completely decreased, but there's still that fear of how long it's going to hang about for. There was an article published yesterday saying that it's going to be here till spring 2021, and you know, we're set in for the long haul, and this is kind of the way we're going to live for the next year, which I think is really scary. Like, there's so many things. Are we just going to reset the world in January next year and kind of start as though this year didn't happen? Or it's just very odd. Things like the Olympics, like, are we going to start them again next year? Are we just going to not have them for like 8 years? Or there's so many things that are being thrown into question now that are traditions that haven't been stopped for, you know, tens of years, that could now completely change.
Yeah, is this going to be kind of a blip in our kind of actions, maybe, or do we now have to change our behaviour kind of like forever? And I think if you kind of think about it that way, that is kind of a really scary thing to think about in a way.
We're now going to be talking about some of the questions that students at the University of Nottingham had about the coronavirus and how and sort of how things are going to be impacted in Nottingham. So firstly, the first question we got were, how many student cases are at Nottingham? And we also got another one saying, are there any coronavirus cases on campus?
So as far as we're aware, there are currently no known cases at the university. The BBC has a really good website, or a really good page, where you can find out the number of cases in your area. So I did that earlier and put in the university's postcode, which gave me that there have been 5 cases in Nottingham, so the city of Nottingham, not Nottingham University, out of a population of over 331,000. So that website is particularly good because it really puts into perspective the kind of percentage of, or like, you know, people that are affected. Of course, it's best to keep on top of what university are telling us. They're monitoring the situation. Both the SU, heads of school and everyone are trying to keep students as up to date via both emails and social media. So just to remind you of like all the links and things, best place to look is probably at Uni of Nottingham on Twitter. nottingham.ac.uk/coronavirus for the web page, and there's also the student corona helpline, which is open 9 till 4 every day, which is 0115 748 6500.
The second question, well, less of a question, but this sort of brings up the idea of what's happening for people in year abroad, which is something we were just talking about, because there's a lot of uncertainty. So someone said that they've been left in the dark about their year abroad to Malaysia, and the uni may still make them pay £800 for visas. And we've actually got a clip about this. So if you listen in, you can hear sort of the problem that some of the students are going through right now about year abroads and coronavirus.
Hi. So my current situation is that I'm currently on the study abroad scheme to Malaysia for next year, which at the moment is looking pretty 50-50 whether it's actually going to go ahead. The university doesn't know, the people planning it don't know, and I don't know, but we're currently in the process of submitting all of our documents. And one of the big things is to prove that you've paid for your visa. That's a big thing that the officials are asking for, and that comes to around £863, and that's money that I don't know if I get back if I'm applying for a visa, and it's a direct transfer to I think UNM, University of Nottingham, Malaysia. That's my current situation. I have no idea what's happening. And the deadline for all of this is on Friday for anyone studying abroad, at least for Malaysia. And it's a little bit scary because I don't know what kind of state of mind the people planning it are at the moment and whether or not this will go ahead. I really, really, really hope it does, personally. I know some people are kind of hoping it doesn't, just to go because, you know, it's a scary time to go traveling, especially to places you've never been before, with people you've never met before, in a completely new continent. That's my current situation. Be left in the dark a little bit, but we did get an email today saying they're going to just keep sending the documents and filling stuff out.
So what do you guys think about that? We've obviously heard from people who are currently on the year abroad and also people who are thinking about going on a year abroad that there's a lot of uncertainty in what they're doing. Like, people who are currently on a year abroad have been given the option of coming home, but that's not like a definite thing that they have to do. And people on the year abroad, obviously, there's so much uncertainty with where the coronavirus is going to go that they don't even know what's going to happen. So do you think that the university should be putting in more provisions to help people who are about to go on a year abroad?
I think obviously that it's not a good situation for students to be in, being kind of left in the dark over these kind of things. But I think also it's the university itself, I think, also doesn't know what's going on, to be honest, to at least some extent, because there is kind of like the argument that this may kind of at least temporarily get better in the summer. And do you want to kind of like cancel it right now? But obviously, planning ahead into the future is like, we don't know when this will end. And so how do you make provisions for something that you don't know when it'll end?
I think it's so difficult because obviously the year abroad is supposed to start in September, at which point it may not be better. But they are full years abroad, so by January it could be better. And, you know, these students might not have the opportunity. You know, George, they're supposed to be going to Malaysia. That's an opportunity that a lot of people might not get again. And it's just such a shame that it is so uncertain, I guess. I think the uncertainty is probably more nerve-wracking than it definitely being called off, because, like they were saying there, do you pay the £700-800 for the visa in case it happens, or do you not risk going for it in case it doesn't happen? But I guess the universities are going to try and keep it as though it's going to go ahead, because obviously they're going to want their students to be able to take part in this if they can by the time it comes to September. But at the same time, they're going to have to reach a decision at some point. And, you know, with a deadline on Friday for all the applications and things, it just seems a bit uncertain as to they're going to make it happen for a start, but it might not go ahead by the time it gets to September. And yeah, it just all seems a bit up in the air.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are kind of really unsure, and it's like, okay, they might not be able to, because it's a visa as well, it's quite a big thing to be getting, and obviously, as he says, it costs like £800, but it seems like the university needs to sort of, I feel, act a bit quicker in some of the things that they're doing.
I'm quite surprised that they've not been completely called off in a way, because obviously we've seen America have shut their borders or imposed travel bans on it's the whole of Europe and the UK now, isn't it, I think. Johnson was just discussing now a Europe travel ban for the UK for 30 days. I know Germany have discussed shutting all major borders. You know, there is a lot happening. But the thing is, these countries, this is for immediate travel, with things like at the university for the year abroad, as we've mentioned, with it being for the future, it's just so difficult to weigh up when this could all die down.
Moving along from the year abroad, we also have some other questions. So one is, what happens if everything closes and I had coursework due which I need uni computers for?
So the university has raised the possibility of people borrowing computers from the university, and also if people want to know more, they should contact their head of departments and apply for extenuating circumstances if this applies to them.
And finally, what can people do about cancelled office hours?
So I know for me, my tutors and advisors have emailed me to say their kind of personal circumstance. So I think it is best to email your tutor, as it will vary from tutor to tutor. But some are setting up the options of having Skype meetings or, you know, video call meetings. You just need to email in advance to be able to book in a time slot as such, whereas others are offering just, you know, emailing any questions. This week, obviously, we're in this kind of transition period for some departments. Some departments have just cancelled lectures, which might mean, so for instance, I think some people in politics are still doing face-to-face. I'm being confirmed. Some are doing face-to-face things still. So if you have the option, if you worry that over the next few weeks you might have questions, I would advise going to speak to tutors as early as possible before things are fully shut down and moved online completely.
And I think lastly, the last thing we should go over, as some things have just come out as we've been doing the show, what's happening currently in the UK? What has Boris Johnson said about the coronavirus?
Well, so obviously Boris Johnson has been giving a recent update, the kind of like the first new daily series of press conferences, and realistically they're taking the points and further than they have done in the past. So before, it was anyone who had a cough or a temperature should isolate themselves, but now it's anyone who lives with someone who has a cough or temperature should now stay at home for 14 days. People should start working at home where they possibly can. People should avoid pubs, clubs, theatres and other social venues. People should only use the NHS when they really need to. And from tomorrow, the government has said it will no longer be supporting mass gatherings. And it's also told people to listen to this, especially people in London, which it says is a few weeks ahead of other places in terms of its situation with the virus. And also the chief scientific advisor, Sir Patrick Vallance, has not ruled out school closures, saying they may be necessary.
I think what's interesting here is Johnson saying that regarding the pubs and clubs and social spaces, they are still leaving it up to us. So he has said that the government won't... They are just advising and urging people not to go. They're not actually, at the moment, enforcing closures, which I think is quite interesting compared to other places. You know, you've seen Italy have gone down on complete lockdown, the government has enforced these closures. It's quite interesting that here it's more being left up to us to make the decisions.
Yeah, I feel like in the next couple of days, they're going to, again, move, like, progress a bit further, like other countries have, and be like, we are now enforcing this. This has to happen. And I feel like, in a lot of ways, it's coming slightly too late each time, but at least something's happening. And I think this statement was at least a bit better, because I feel like we see a lot of people, especially, I don't know if this is because we're in a student area, but like a lot of people still going out and still doing stuff and kind of acting like normal, regardless of what's happening.
This is URN.